We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for once again tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. We thank you for making us part of your day. And my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, practically brand new there. I've been there 25 years, but each day is a new adventure. And we have coming up this week our missions emphasis weekend. We are doing something different this year. For a long, long time now, we have done I Love Missions banquets. And in all honesty to you, we just ain't as young as we used to be. And a number of our people that would work real hard on that, you know, we just looked at things and said, you know, I think we will try something different this year rather than working our people real, real hard, and then they've got to drag themselves to work. The very next day, we would do our missions banquet on Sunday night and then have them drag through Monday and drag through Tuesday and then come back to church on Wednesday and just set them up for a week of fatigue. We are doing something different this year, and so Sunday morning is going to be our missions emphasis. Gary Kellner will be with us that day. We are still going to be taking missions faith promises, believing God to increase your income and my income so that we can partner with him in taking the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. But we're going to take the resources that we would have normally put out to purchase food and have the banquet and all of that. We're going to put those resources to use in a slightly different manner this time and without as much fatigue being placed upon our workers. Like I've told you here before, even in mega churches with thousands and thousands of members, I've had conversations with the pastors, and there's still, with all of those thousands of people, there are still shortages of workers in those churches. And so we're going to do something different this year. If you would like to be a part of that, our Sunday service is going to be Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday night, instead of the banquet, like I said before on the faith promises, we're going to do those on Sunday morning this year instead of on Sunday night. And then Sunday night, we are going to turn around and we're going to have, rather than something that's going to wear us out, we're going to have something that is going to refresh us. And so we're going to have a Holy Spirit emphasis night, a revival night. And that is what we are going to do, because our responsibility is not just to reach the ends of the earth. Our responsibility is to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria. And so if you'd like to come out and join us this coming Sunday, we would love to have you. We have seats available. And, you know, the past couple of weeks have been pretty interesting since I got back. I met a listener in a Sonny's restaurant that I had never met before. He said he recognized my voice. And later that week, that was just last week, this last weekend I was at a memorial service and saw a person that was very influential. I saw several people that were very influential in my daughter's lives when they were much, much younger, and went up and said hi to them. Some of them I see pretty frequently, but one I hadn't seen in probably 18 or 19 years. And when I introduced myself to her, she said, you're part of my morning, every morning. And so it was good to run into a few folks that we have crossed paths with in the past, and know that this radio program is being a blessing in the community. So some real interesting things, even when I was having some work done on my mouth the other day. I don't know if you have to have work done on your mouth. The Bible says that where there is a multitude of words, sin is not far away. And so I had not only have to do spiritual work on my mouth, but I have some physical work done on my mouth as well. And one of the people that I was talking to said, "Hey, I caught your radio program, and you're on the radio every time, or, you know, your voice is on the radio just at the exact same time that I'm leaving work." And so back at Christmas, when there were Christmas carol fatigue going on, they found the radio station and found us there on their way home. So we just want to thank God for this ministry. We're now into our fifth year, and thank you for being a part of it and all that you do. And for those of you who support the radio program as well as the radio station, we say thank you. Without you, it would not be possible. We do want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They have been friends for a number of years and helped us out at the church, helped us out at home, and they can be a blessing to you. If you're anywhere in the county, need electrical work or work on your heater or your air conditioner, you know, they said Punxsutawney Phil, saw his shadow, and that means six more weeks of winter, which I guess makes it a long winter. So if we have more cold weather that comes our way, you know, I have a lot more trust in God's forecast than I do a groundhog's forecast. But if we do have some colder weather come this way, they can help you out with that. They can also get you set up to maintain your cool when the heat rises. And so give them a call, 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. I want to take you back to Revelation chapter 1 today. We're going to get into some other things, but Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So yesterday, during the day, I was listening to the radio program, and after I'd already spoken, and I just wanted to talk to you just a little bit more about this faithful witness that testifies that when you're a child of God, he testifies beyond your emotions, beyond your feelings, beyond what other people tell you about yourself, whether they've rejected you or accepted you. When Jesus testifies that you're a child of God, you're a child of God. I'm much more concerned about his testimony about me than I am about my own testimony about me. Do you know that one of the most simple things to do in this world is to lie to yourself? The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? And so I remember a friend of mine one time who was submitted to authority, and they were beginning to talk to him, and he said, "You know, I didn't want to do what they said." And then I got to thinking about it, and it said, "Well, if that was the reality, how would you know it? And how would you know if you are not being truthful with yourself?" There are a lot of people in America and around the world who are living in a delusion as to the reality of their spiritual condition. And so when God commanded the angel of the Lord to testify to Gideon, and he said, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor," Gideon at that point in time looked anything but a mighty man of valor. He was threshing wheat where he shouldn't have been threshing wheat, because no one would expect him to be threshing wheat there. He was hiding because there were marauders that were coming in and taking the food. He wasn't acting valiantly. He was acting fearfully. And God showed up and said, "You are a mighty man of valor." He ended up being a mighty man of valor. And there were times when people were anointed to be prophets who were actually pushing oxen out in the field, which was anything but prophetic, but they ended up being great spokespeople, calling people back into relationship with God. When Jesus told the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery that he did not condemn her, then there was a whole new testimony that she had. No longer was she judged by the failures of the past or even the failure that was right there, that was in her present, that had set her up for that encounter where they had caught her in the act of adultery. The only thing is they forgot to bring the guy along. They forgot to bring all the evidence. They forgot to bring all of the people who were involved in the process. And Jesus looked up and said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "Nowhere." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." But don't forget this. He also says, you got to change your life. Jesus doesn't forgive as a license to sin. He forgives so that he can empower you to live a holy and righteous life. I want to say one more thing to women, and that is this. In Proverbs 31, when you are a Proverbs 31 woman, when you are living as a woman of virtue, when God says, you know what, you are a virtuous woman. By the way, that's the same word as valor to Gideon there. It means it's a powerful declaration over your life. So I want to tell you today that when verse number 5 goes on to say, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, when he has forgiven us, when he has cleansed us, when he has spoken over us, when he rejoices over us with singing, when he declares that we are his children, the apple of his eye, when he declares, when he testifies as a faithful witness that you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, when he testifies that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, when he testifies that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is a faithful testimony. And so today, if you are listening to this radio program, I want you to put the emphasis on the right testimony, not the wrong testimony. You know, we grew up having a lot of fun with sayings in Oklahoma. And one of the things that we would say whenever we got tongue tangled, or misspoke or mispronounced a word, we would say, well, we put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. And a lot of people live their life putting the emphasis on the wrong testimony. They put it on a testimony of a person who only has partial information, not total information. You see, Jesus knows the end as well as the beginning, as well as the process in between. He knows all about your past, but he knows about the sufficiency of the price that he paid for you. He knows the potential and the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So please live your life with the emphasis on the true and valid testimony of the one who is going to stand beside you as your advocate before God the Father and say, "Father, allow me to introduce you to this great child of yours that has been purchased by my blood." That's the testimony that we have to look forward to. It is the testimony of a life that is guided and directed. On Sunday morning, I was preaching out of Hebrews chapter 11. I was talking about the desires that we have for heavenly things, that it stretches us. It gives something to reach for, to stretch for. I was in verses number 13 and 16, where it says, "These all died in faith." It was talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And it said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise." And in the Amplified Bible, it said, "These all died controlled and sustained by faith." And I want to encourage you today that it's a lot easier to live controlled by faith than it is controlled by fear. It is a lot easier to live controlled and sustained by faith when you know that your Lord and Savior is a faithful, faithful God. I encourage you today to allow his testimony to carry great, great weight in your heart and in your life, and allow the Holy Spirit to develop in you and make you the man of God, the woman of God that you are supposed to be, that God knows that he wants you to be. So there is that. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That, and it goes on and says, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. He is faithful not only as a witness of what our current status is spiritually, but what he is going to make us to be in the days to come. Now, I want to take you back to 1 John chapter 1. I made a promise to you here a couple of broadcasts ago that we would be looking at what repentance looks like. So 1 John chapter 1, this was one of the first verses that I memorized as a active believer. That's not to mean that I wasn't a child of God before, but there was one day where I had a spiritual wake-up call, and I began to actually apply myself, not just during Sunday school, but throughout the week in growing in my relationship with him. So verse number 8 says this: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's kind of like what we just talked about, where it's very easy for us to lie to ourselves. If we say that we don't have sin, that's lying to ourselves. If we say that we have sinned too much and that God could never forgive us, that is also a lie from the pit of hell. And you don't need to give any credence to what the devil's testimony is. He is a liar. That means he's a perjurer. And you shouldn't give any weight to his credence. That credibility that we have is very, very important. And I remember a story that I read one time about a very famous man. If I told you his name, you would remember it from history classes. He was a great general and had graduated West Point and stuff like that. He was a phenomenal military mind. And some people came and they presented him with a business opportunity if they could use his name for their purposes. And he got very emphatic and he said, "Sir, or sirs, I have lost everything. The only thing that I have that is valuable is my name and my reputation, and it is not for sale." And so I'm so thankful that we can trust God, that he can forgive us. He gives us a new name. He gives us a new relationship. And so do not live your life deceiving yourself as to the holier-than-thou attitude or the unholier-than-thou attitude. Never put it that way before, but it works. Both of those are signs of pride. One says, I am so good, I am so sufficient that I have no sin in me and I have no need of a Savior. The other says, I am so proud of the fact that I have sinned that even though the blood of Jesus is capable of forgiving every other person on the planet of every sin that they've ever committed, past, present, or future, my sin is too great for that, and it creates a condition of arrogance and it deprives that person of the forgiveness that Jesus made a possibility for you. It says, if we confess our sins, as I was studying this and we're talking about this fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness, this verse hit me in a whole new light. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That confession is an act of repentance. It is not just an acknowledgement of a stronghold that we intend to continue to have an operation in our life. Back in October, I was visiting my parents. I was helping them pack up. They sold the property that had been in my mother's family for 69 years. They've got a whole new adventure that they are on in the days ahead that every day brings that reality closer and closer. But just a few days after I left, my sister called me late at night and showed me pictures. And there had already been some demolition that had taken place on that property. But she sent me some pictures really late on a Sunday night. By the way, I will just tell you that pastors getting phone calls late at night, that's generally never a good thing. That's not a social call when you're already in bed. Thankfully, all she wanted to tell me was the place that my great-grandparents had called home, and the place that my grandparents had called home, and the place that I had called home, and my parents had called home, my siblings had called home, that it was being demolished. And there was only, one of the houses was completely gone. The garage was gone on the other, and many of the other structures were gone. And there was just a little bit of a house still left. And you know what? It'll only be a couple of days, if it's not already gone by now, it'll only be a couple of more days before that is gone as well. Wouldn't that be the type of destruction you would like for the spiritual strongholds that kept you captive in sin? I want to see them absolutely devastated and rendered powerless in my life. And so if it says, if we confess our sins, if we say, God, I surrender this to you. I believe that you have a better plan for my life than the devil has. I believe that your grace has a better plan for my life than the sin that I have been captive to. And so if we confess our sins, ask him to forgive us our sins and to empower us and to not only be forgiven ourselves, but to forgive others around us. When we come to that place, it says this, he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I know way too many believers that are still living in condemnation from something that they've already confessed, they've already abandoned, they have already abandoned the pursuit of. They are now running hard after God, and yet they will still say things like this, I just don't feel forgiven. And I want to remind you that 1 John 1:9 says that if we've done our part, if we've confessed and abandoned and are pursuing our relationship with Jesus, that Jesus is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from, say it with me, all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Do you realize that Jesus is not coming for a sin-stained bride? Ephesians says that he is coming for a bride that is blameless, without spot, and without blemish. And the only way that becomes a reality is through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. I don't know if you've ever tried to clean up your own act, to clean up your own self, but I can tell you, it is an impossible task. I've told you before when I used to help my parents throw a paper out, I got to see some of those same roads, you know. And the funny thing was my dad expected me to remember some of the houses that we threw papers to. It's like too many sleeps since then. There are too many names. He showed me places that we used to throw papers, and I don't even remember that trailer park, to be honest with you. I'm sure that we did. His memory on that is going to be way better than mine, so I'm going to trust his memory. But I don't even remember those things. But let's go back here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So during that time, I burned up the clutch plate in a 1967 GMC pickup. And my dad said, you burned it up, you get to replace it. I said, I don't even know where to find a clutch plate. Don't even know what a clutch plate looks like. And he said, we're going to help you to learn that. And so evidently he thought I was riding the clutch a little much. And I got to get under there. My grandfather helped me. My dad helped me too. And I came out and I had grease that was all over me. It was on my clothes. It was on my face. It was in my hair. I'm sure the pores of my skin smelled like grease. I can still remember it was in October in Oklahoma, and the weather in Oklahoma in October is very cold. I had grease from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I was just a stained mess. And I went to go into the house, and my mother said these words, "You're not coming into my house looking like that. I want you to understand that you don't get into heaven still covered in the stains of sin." And so she said, when you get rid of those stains, then you can come into my house. It wasn't a fancy house, but it was a functional house. And so I went out to a garden hose with ice cold water in it and laundry soap and scrub brushes. And eventually I got clean to where she said, you can come into my house now. I want you to know that in spite of all the technological breakthroughs that have ever happened, they still have not invented a substitute that will cleanse sins other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And you don't get into heaven with sin still ruling and reigning in your life. But I want you to know today, no matter how steeped in sin you are, your sin life may look like I did, covered in all that grease, but I want to declare to you today that the blood of Jesus is sufficient. He can clean you up where you cannot clean yourself up. And he says, I want you to be part of the family. My mother wasn't trying to keep me out of the house. She was just trying to get me in a position that was suitable for the house. And you are a child of God. You were never meant to have sin have dominion over your life. You are meant to live forgiven and empowered. And so today I pray that you will make that a reality in your life, because Jesus is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."